A little devotion before we start service. We think about that banana and the, we think about the marvels of God. And I was just thinking a little bit about that. I don't know if it's a very good analogy. Sometimes you think you only have a split second to think before something else starts. And I just thought about that banana peel just for a little bit as it shows how ripe and how good that fruit is. And I think this morning, our goal is just to look at our own lives and how ready our fruit is. Are we really following the Lord Jesus? Are we really renewed in our spirit? Are we really living in newness of life? Are we like that banana that's too green? Are we just not ready to meet the Lord Jesus? Are we not ready to be a part of His kingdom? Or are we no longer desiring to worship? No longer desiring to have our minds in the Word and being washed every day? To where we're turning like that banana where it's nearly ready for the trash can. I don't know where we are today, but it seems like we have a lifestyle or during a life of man that may have some ups and downs. Sometimes we feel a little closer to the Lord possibly than other times. I think in my own life, many times those down times is when I'm not searching and seeking the Lord. I'm not listening for that knock that Jesus is wanting to come in and sup with us. So a little while this morning, we want to think about some, just our own lives and where do we stand, that we be earnestly leaning on the Lord Jesus and His breast. That someday there might be a book that says each one of us, we're like the disciple and Jesus loved us and we loved Him. So for just a little bit, I just wanted to think back to the morning lesson. There's just a couple of verses there that's very well known to us, the 26th and the 27th verse there in Ezekiel 36. As I think about who we are without the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, without the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, leading us, this is a promise that was written many years before the Holy Spirit came down on Pentecost. Many years before Jesus physically died on that old rugged cross. For the blood of Jesus that rolled down that cross that covered our sins was atonement, a substitutionary atonement for each one of us. It says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Thinking about possibly some of us, can we remember our conversion? What was it like when we were following after our flesh? I think about here in Genesis. Maybe we'll just turn there to Genesis 32. So we look at a young man. And his lifestyle and who he was. Let's look at the start here at the 27th verse. Let's back up just a little to the 24th verse. Young man named Jacob. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him and said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hath prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask for my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. And I was marveled a while back about Jacob and his name. A lot of times in the Old Testament followed their characteristics of who they were. And if you think about Jacob, he was a heel catcher. If you look up the 25th chapter of Genesis, about the 21st through the 34th verse, it says he struggled with Esau in the womb. Jacob just means trickery, treachery, deceitful, or a schemer. And if you remember, he deceived his father-in-law. He swindled his brother out of his birthright. Obviously, his brother didn't esteem his birthright very, very high because he was very hungry, even weak. Even said if he didn't eat, he would die and he wouldn't need the birthright. But as you remember, I think a good Christian man would have possibly just fed a brother that was in need. But you know, Jacob, in his deceitful ways and the way that he thought, he would just trade a little pot of porridge, a little bit of sustenance for a few hours for a birthright of his brothers. So he worked trickery. Also with his father-in-law, Laban. I don't know if I understand it all, but he would somehow have sheep that were spotted, I believe, if I remember right. Didn't go back and look at that recently. And that he would have those bred with other sheep, and then he would be more spotted sheep than any other sheep. And pretty soon, Jacob's herds were larger than his father-in-law's herds. We also know that his father-in-law paid some trickery back to him on a wife. But I just wondered, who are we without the outside influence of this Holy Spirit that's talked about here in Ezekiel? We have a heart of stone, a heart that has a desire to serve ourselves. Who are we? A lot of us probably know our own traits. Maybe we struggle when we get pinned in a corner to possibly tell the truth. Or possibly, when it comes down to a business deal, that we may just have a tendency just to be a little bit on the better end for ourselves than maybe what it would have really been agreed to. Or maybe we want to be esteemed higher than someone else. Maybe even to the point that as a child, we would actually act out some of those things and we would treat other boys and girls not so good. Maybe there was a time that we had a teenager that we would lust after things that was not ours. I think about the sin of men. Maybe we just wanted something that wasn't ours. Something the neighbor had that was a new vehicle or possibly a nicer farm. Maybe a more beautiful wife. Maybe we're like David. We see a beautiful woman and we want something that's not ours. Maybe we're selfish and we don't want to give out that pot of porridge unless it's going to be worth a whole lot more down the road. Maybe we're just a busybody and we just want to be in everybody else's business. Maybe we just like slandering others and maybe called a backbiter. Someone that just doesn't uphold righteousness and encourage others. Maybe bring others down to our own level. Maybe we're just flat heartless. When we see those who are in need, we might see that man that was beaten there laying along the side of the road. Maybe we're just a priest and we're just too busy. We don't have time for this. It's laying here to the side of the road. Or maybe we have other things going on and we just don't have time. But whatever it is, we know that Good Samaritan, even though he was an enemy of that man that was laying there beaten, he stopped. And he poured in oil, and he poured in wine. He gave of his own money to hire someone else to take care of this man that was even his own enemy. And I think back to Ezekiel, and I think about that heart that was stone, much like mine many times. And I think about that promise of the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, that we might have a heart of flesh, a heart of tenderness, and a heart of love for the human families around us, for each other, even within our brother and sisters in the Lord. So for just a little while, thought we might just look at some of the scriptures, what they ask of us, and how we can seek the Lord and help as we walk this journey of life. Let us sing hymn number 475. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Surely I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Thy saints in all thy glorious war shall conquer though they die. They see the triumph from afar and seize it with their eye. When that illustrious day shall rise, and all thine armies shine in robes of victory through the skies, the glory shall be thine. So here we see Jacob and he gets a new name. And I wonder what our name is going to be someday. You know, it says that we're going to be given a new name. I just wonder what that new name will be, but somehow I wonder if it's not much like Jacob. When that sinful flesh and that desire is gone, and we have been made perfect, and we'll be like Jacob with a new name, like he became Israel. And he was blessed of all nations, for all nations were blessed of him. So I just wanted to look here for a little bit in Colossians, go through a few verses here. This morning, as we look at the Word of God, we pray that it'll wash us, that we might be made clean. Wash us that we would have a desire to be more perfect, much like Jesus as he walked upon the earth. So we look here at Colossians 3. We start here at the first verse. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And I thought each one of us, if we would just have our mind and our face lifted a little higher than the ground, if we could lift up and see Jesus, we was looking up like we was looking at that sun that was darkened with the moon. Wouldn't the things around us just grow slightly dimmer? The challenges of this life. Maybe this wicked old heart would somehow be slightly forgotten if we would seek those things which are above. Seek the things that are going to be there eternally, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Isn't that why we're all here? Didn't we come with a little bit of an expectation that the Lord would speak to us through the Word? Did we put our affections a little higher? You know, I've been in HR doing hiring and taking care of young men for a couple years. I've since changed some of that. But you know, there was a conversation sometimes comes about profitability of a company. And you know, a lot of things have to be done and in order. And yet I had to think, as we have companies and we have businesses and we have goals of our farms and maybe adding another farm for another descendants coming on that may want a farm down the road. If we could just accumulate some of those things and have that extra profit to add for the children and grandchildren, maybe even for our own lives to make it just a little bit easier. And then I got to thinking about all the men and women that we use in our businesses. I thought about how much effort that I do in accumulating things. And then I thought about thinking on things above. And I got to thinking about which one of those things are going to be in heaven. All these things that I toil for myself, or possibly I should spend a little more time with the people. A little more time, because those are going to be the only thing there that have anything to do with what I did here on earth. And I wondered at how I fail to care for the people. If we are truly dead to the things around us, and our affections are on the things above, if we are hid in Christ, the fourth verse, when Christ shall appear, then it shall ye also appear with him in glory. If we are hid in Christ, if we have so wrought this life with our hearts and our minds centered on him, on his glorious appearing, then we shall also be able to appear with him in glory. The fifth verse said, mortify therefore your members which are on the earth. It's really just put to death. Seems to me it's just putting off the old man. Putting off those things that helped Jacob come from Jacob to Israel. Those unclean things, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Following the man of sin and the sin nature. Can we not be transformed by the renewing of our minds? For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. The rewards on either end are a great vast distance apart. We either have a reward to damnation and hell, or reward to eternal life in the presence of our Lord and Savior. A Lord is so transfigured upon the mountain that he glowed. And I wonder, when all the evil is gone here on this earth, what the glory is going to be really like. Is it going to be like that sun as it came just a little fleck past the moon and you could no longer look at it with your naked eye? The brilliance and the purity of Christ. And the rewards of following Jesus. Thirty-seventh verse, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. I think each one of us can say at some point we lived for the flesh. We walked in sin. Each one of us were given that sin nature of Adam. Each one of us deemed unworthy to enter into the kingdom of God. The eighth verse. But now ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. How many of you have been on a job site, as I have, and heard the anger and the wrath of men? The filthy communication coming out of their mouth. Sometimes even men in plain clothes. And I wonder about that heart, whether it's been turned to flesh. I wonder about that renewed mind. Ninth verse, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And that is the same as being put to death. We have been put to death that old man as Christ died, then it'll be renewed and resurrected in Christ, that we can be an overcomer even here on this earth. The 10th verse says, put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. That Creator, Jesus Christ. Wherein, it doesn't matter whether you're American, Russian, Arab, Jew, Greek, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. But Jesus Christ is all and can be in each one of us all. Sometimes we see the wars and the rumors of wars and we want to take sides. Maybe just me. How many of us are realizing that Jesus Christ died for each one of them? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, each one of us elected by God, holy and beloved, putting on Jesus Christ. So the 12th verse says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God. I like to look at Matthew 22:14, just for a minute. I was challenged a while back with this chapter. It says, for many are called, but few are chosen. And some of this came down through from some theology. And I was just challenged that many are called, but only few were chosen. And I wasn't sure that I knew that I served a God like that. And so as I was looking at this here yesterday, it says, put on therefore as the elect of God. This here came back to me and I came back to this 22nd chapter. If you look here about the 4th verse, you're going to find where a man has a wedding. And in the 3rd verse, he sends forth his servants to call them and they were bidden to the wedding and they would not come. God has called men to a wedding. Again, he sent forth other servants, telling them which were bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, and my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. They scoffed at it. They had other things to do. And they went on their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye find, bid to the marriage. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found. Look at this. Both bad and good were all invited to the wedding. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw therefore a man which had not on a wedding garment. What is that wedding garment? I believe that is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If we do not have that wedding garment of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, if we have not taken on the blood of Jesus Christ in our life, he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? Why are you here without Jesus Christ? That's what came to me. And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. Who was cast into outer darkness? The one without Jesus Christ. Put on therefore as the elect of God. What are you putting on? Something of your own? I think it's the robes of righteousness of Jesus Christ, that wedding garment. Throwing men to outer darkness, and there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Aren't they the ones that unchose because they decided they did not want the robes of Jesus Christ? They did not want the blood of Jesus upon their life. The good and the bad that were at the wedding are no longer covered with the wedding garment of Christ. Put on, therefore, the garment of Jesus Christ as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness and of mind, meekness and long-suffering. I don't think any of us of our own selves can put that on day in and day out. If we take on Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit, I believe that we can be changed. Find the beginning of my notes here. 1929, Huntsville, Texas. A young man, 17 years of age, convicted, youngest man convicted to be on death row. He had 60 days to live. Man by the name of Clyde Thompson. Clyde Thompson was named after some time in jail the meanest man in Texas. Clyde was out one night with some young boys. They decided to go hunting. Two brothers and himself. In the middle of the night, they came upon some neighbors that they had had conflict with, and they ended up killing two men. Clyde Thompson was convicted to the electric chair. He was sentenced to death twice in the same murder case within a year's time. The other boy's parents had some money. If I remember right, it was 60 days before he was to be killed. It was stayed for some time until the other trials had come through. Then Clyde was back up, ready for execution. 2 days before execution, he was stayed. After that stay, it was another 90 days to live. Upon 6 hours before execution, the warden said he was changed from sentence from death to life imprisonment. This young man had already had his last bath. He had already had offering for his last meal. Then this young man was sent off to hard labor camp called a farm. And they worked him 7 days a week. with hardly any sleep. Said they would fall in bed without washing their socks for weeks and not know if they ate supper or whether they didn't. And they was back at it the next day. He said, if there is a God that allows me to go through this. He said, there is. Anyways, he lost his faith in God. This young man had a desire to get out of prison at any cost. This young man didn't care if he died as long as he got out of this prison camp. 4 times he attempted to escape. Trying to escape, 1 time he looked back at a guard that was ready to shoot him, and he ducked as a shotgun blast blew his hat off. Another time, they took guards and they took their guns and they held them as bodyguards as they went up to get the armory to get to give guns to all the inmates. They were ambushed and shot with 30-30s. 3 men dropped at his side and he was shot in the shoulder. 2 knife fights, he killed men in prison. Did not care whom he killed as long as he got what he wanted. The officials soon learned that he was not afraid to die. He would do anything to escape. They ended up taking a morgue that had 6 blocks, slabs in it. And they put a small steel cage door or window in this building. They gave him a pair of shorts and they stuck him in this room. Concrete walls, concrete floor. He had 3 steps from one side of the concrete wall to the other. And he walked out as a caged man. If I remember right, it was over 5 years. Bare feet on that concrete floor were holes where he turned and pivoted to walk back to the other way. One day after a few months of being there, he asked for a Bible because that's the only thing you could get in prison to keep from growing crazy. He said, I'm going to prove that there is no God, that he is not real. And he spent his hours, there was nearly 5 hours he had daylight. After that, he couldn't see his hands. It was darkness. Because the only time the light shone through that little window was when the sun was at a directly hitting that window. And then it would go down, it was another wall, and it was just darkness. This man studied the Bible and realized that God had to be real. This young man spent days on his face weeping in repentance for his deeds done on this earth. He started to write Christian literature to magazines. They started to write back. This young man was given a few minutes once a week to get a shower or to get a bath. And as he would go He befriended the guards, and they started giving him more time. Three young men seen that he's changed and asked for baptism. They found a bathtub that supposedly was where he took his last bath. And they baptized three men. Then he continued in ministry in the prison. Eight men went to their graves because Clyde Thompson lived. Sixty men were baptized in prison because Clyde Thompson lived. 21 more men were attending Bible class when he was finally released 28 years later. Of men that said he would never get out of prison. Said they didn't know the power of God when they said that. What is our life? Are we still serving ourselves? Or are we willing to give up ourselves and serve the Almighty God? Matthew 6, the 24th verse says, "No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Cannot serve God and ourselves. I think about the man Saul as he's going to Tarsus. He's breathing out threatenings and slaughter. He consented unto the death of Stephen. And then he meets Jesus on the way to Damascus. "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he fell to the earth. And we know his change from Saul to the apostle that we know, Apostle Paul. I think about the power of Almighty God, changing our heart of stone and turning it into flesh. And I pray that somehow our lives could so be lived that someday we'll be greeted home in heaven with those that we've cared for here on this earth. May God bless each and every one of you. Enjoyed being here with you here today.